Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 222 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one is a fun one. It's with Michelle and Andrew Munoz from Moose Craft Barbecue here in Los Angeles. This is essentially a catch-up interview because the last time I interviewed them, they were about to go into Smorgasbord in Los Angeles. And since then, a lot of things have changed. Their growth was exponential at Smorgasbord, but then they had to shut it down. So we talk about everything that has happened since the pandemic and how they've had to change their business model several times to make things work. Right as things were starting to shut down, the NBA and different events, and I think they were looking, they said that Smorgasbord was looking at Disneyland to see what they were going to do. They had ordered a ton of meat for Smorgasbord as well as a brewery pop-up, and then everything shut down. So they had to think on their feet and vacuum seal stuff, and their customers and fans and people that love them really stepped up and purchased everything that they had. But since then, they've created a model where they now put items up for pre-order. They have a specific amount of time that they put them up for. People can order meats by the pound. They can order plates, which they've never done before, sides, as well as a dessert, key lime pie. Michelle talks about that. That's definitely a new thing on their menu. So you can order everything ahead of time, and then it's usually not from that week, but for the week after. So they're doing pop-ups every 2 weeks, and it's really working out. It's making a lot of sense. They're really able to navigate this properly. So we talk about that. We talk about how social media has been a big component in getting the word out and growing their business. So that's nice. And it's a casual conversation. We talk too about the fact that they want to open a brick and mortar. And at the very beginning, we kind of joke about it. But at the end, we talk in depth about what they want to do. They're sitting in front of it's roughly a 200-gallon Harper pit that they just got, a backyard pit. So they can experiment and cook at home. They've now had pits from Fat Stack, El Cucaracha, and Harper, and we discuss that, and we discuss how important it is for them to be able to have offset cookers at their new location, what they're expecting to have at their new location to make it suit what they want to present to the public, and how they want it to be like coming to their own home. It's a great interview. Smokey, their French Bulldog, makes an appearance. Diego, their son, makes an appearance. And in the end, I'm a huge fan of theirs. I love them like family. I'm working on a piece right now about Moose Craft and Los Angeles, so stay tuned for that on the website. But I can't thank them enough for all the hard work that they do and all the love and care that they put into their food to give to Los Angeles. If you haven't had Moose Craft Barbecue yet, and you're coming to Los Angeles, you could order ahead online if it corresponds with your stay here. But if you're living in Los Angeles or in the area, please, please try them out. They're doing contactless. You order online ahead of time, set up a time, come to their kitchen on whatever day it is that they're selling, open your back window, they'll pop it in or put it in your trunk, completely contactless. You've got to check them out. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints website and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com, or you can go to their location in Dripping Springs, Texas. 26 acres, sprawling, spread out. Try all their bourbon, all their rum, all their gin. They also have beer and wine that they make on property that they sell just on property. They have Alice's Restaurant, which is a barbecue and live fire restaurant. They're distilling again, so check them out, treatyoakdistilling.com. And if you're liking these, please subscribe. As you can see, I'm doing about two or three of these per week. Don't want you to miss out. Apparently, you're supposed to subscribe and click some kind of bell. I should know that by now. I have known nothing. So subscribe if you're enjoying these. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Tons of content, all this stuff on the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. Stay safe. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, Andrew and Michelle, for taking the time. I think our last interview was right before Smorg, right? Before you guys joined Smorg.
Yeah, it might have been. It's been a while.
Over a year then,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I think it was probably leading into what we were going to do next at that point. And
yeah, so now we'll talk about the brick and mortar, essentially, right? We'll talk about, was two stories. How big is the brick and mortar, the new one?
Oh, yeah, multiple locations.
Yeah.
We're going to be in every food hall across Los Angeles. You know.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad you're doing the Vegas thing right now. I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, we're going to open up before Slab. Jump on that.
Yeah, that's a good.
Also have a location that we haven't mentioned in South County. You know, we'll tell
Brenda
and Danny later. Yeah.
It's actually in the Mission itself.
Yeah.
We'll add that because, you know, that's levity. But how are you guys doing? How are you handling this? What's it been like since COVID started?
Woo! What's it been like? It's been hectic, extremely hectic. Yeah. For once, I think, to start off, our kids have been out of school since March.
Yes.
And that has complicated things tremendously because, you know, Andrew and I...
There's a lot more coordinating that we have to do. Mm-hmm. So because the kids aren't in school, we have to see if, like, my grandparents are around to watch them or, you know, somewhere else, someone else, her mom, you know, and then also trying to minimize our contacts with a lot of different people. Yeah. So that's kind of why we were doing them every other weekend.
Right.
Just to kind of on a week, offer a full week, shut it down, see how we feel, and then start it up again. So that's kind of, that kind of was the initial reason behind doing it every other week. That, and on top of, like, you know, kitchen and kitchen fees and availability inside the kitchen.
And at first, like, Smorgasbord was still open just for a little bit at the very end, and it was kind of that, it was like that moment. I remember talking to you guys and how stressful it was because no one really knew what was going to happen in the city.
No, yeah. So we were planning. It was a busy week for us the week everything got canceled. So when everything shut down, I can't remember the exact date in March, but when that happened, I think it was the week prior when it started, like, affecting sports teams. And so we were prepping for Smorgasburg, and on top of that, we were going to have a big brewery pop up in Long Beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At Trademark Brewing. And so we were in communication with Smorgasburg, and they were like, we're going to keep going until they tell us we can't. And they were like, we're really, you know, keeping an eye on Disney, Grand Central Market,
Staples Center,
and then sports, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, all right. So we bought all of the stuff, we prepped it, and then the next morning, like, the NBA was postponed, Disney shut down, and then we got the email saying they were going to also freeze. So we had enough food for two events, and we ended up moving most of it at the brewery. We just had a lot of support, people who came down. And then whatever we did, and we vac sealed it, and people picked it up during the week, and we got rid of it, thankfully.
Yeah, you guys, it seems like people have really come out to support you guys, and it makes me happy. I'm sure it makes you guys happy, but from afar, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting because we really didn't know what to expect. We were like, oh, well, what are we going to do in the time that we're off? And, you know, I don't know if anyone even expected it to be this long. And so we're just like, well, let's pivot and figure out what we can do inside of our kitchen. And the kitchen owner, Cindy, she's been very helpful.
Super supportive.
And she was just like, whatever you guys need to do, do it. You know, like, mm-hmm. you need more refrigeration. You need a freezer for anything so it doesn't go bad. Refrigerate it, freeze it. Like, I'm not going to charge you extra. And then
do what you got to do.
And if you need to do curbside out of my kitchen, you know, you can do that. And so she allowed us to do it along with other vendors in the kitchen that operated, that where the model worked.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing it like that since.
Well, didn't you guys at first just try to do cryo and pre-orders? And I remember.
Yeah. So we did the vac seal just for like 2 weeks. So I think, or maybe even a week. It was just like what we didn't move at the brewery, or because of what we had extra, because we didn't get to do Smorg. We portioned it out, vac sealed it all, and we took a large order for a week, and then everybody came and took it, and it was right in the beginning, so, like, the vac seal stuff really worked. People wanted stuff that they could store in the freezer for a month or two, and so people took that. And then after that, we were just like, okay, well, we can continue to do that, or we can see if we can just do, like, curbside pickup pop-ups from the kitchen. And
still give that same experience mm-hmm. that we were doing at Smorgasburg with, you know, serving the sides and the meats and doing it by the pound, and we did plates. And
yeah, so initially we did plates, which is something we hadn't done
since
the backyard days.
Yeah, I remember.
So we were just like, all right, well, let's see if a plate will work, and it worked. But then at the same time, we had a lot of people who were like, well, I just want to buy, like, it by the pound like you guys normally do it. So then we switched the plates off, and then went kind of just like our full menu, like what we did at Smorg minus the sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And that really took off. And so now the last month, we've slowly incorporated a couple plate options back into the menu.
Okay.
And so now people are ordering a plate and then maybe a pound of brisket for later in the week or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
A little bit for everyone.
And then you guys added the pastrami too. That's like, you've been doing that for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. So, well, we were doing the pastrami at Smorgasburg, mm-hmm. and then we just took it off. It's a lot of work.
We were doing it as a beef rib, though.
Yeah, we were doing pastrami beef ribs. Yeah. And So then we added that into our week, our every other week pickup. And so right now our idea is like, well, what can we do different every time we do a sale so that it's interesting? So, you know, if 1 week we do pastrami briskets, you know, this coming weekend we're doing our beef cheek taco kits. And then we added a new sausage. We did a birria sausage, you know, been tweaking. And this past weekend we tried it and we were just like, all right, this is where it's at. So. So we're happy where that sausage is at, but it's not on the menu next week. So we're just kind of rotating it just to kind of keep people interested, have something new 1 week that you can't get the next, just to kind of draw people to order something. If they want this week, then they know they have to get it or wait like maybe 2 weeks before it's back on.
That's smart. No, and it's good to mix it up. Yeah. It's good for you guys too. Creatively, it's important to do
that. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting. It's not like the same old menu every single week. It's like the same standards, but then... You know, we can have something fun that we've been working on that we really didn't have a chance, the time to experiment with in the past, because Smorgasburg was like a weekly thing and it was so much food that we had to prep that it was labor intensive. And we didn't have the space in the smokers to really like test cook a small amount of anything. So now cool. that we're like not trying to overwhelm us or our crew when they help us, we do a little bit less. But that little bit of space that I have in one of the smokers, I'll like do a small batch of something and then we'll kind of tweak it until we get it to where we like it. And then we'll like share it with our team and then we'll get feedback from them. And if it's like,
they're our guinea pigs.
Yeah. They don't
lucky guinea pigs. They're so lucky that they get there.
And then they were just like, oh yeah, that's good. And then we're like, all right, so then we'll add it to the menu as a special or something. So that's kind of been what we've been doing lately.
And also too, that I want to get a little bit more into the menu, but the key lime pie.
Oh yeah.
That too.
So during this quarantine, we've been baking a lot more, both Andrew and I, and I've gotten a lot more comfortable with making pastries and experimenting, and I got to say, I really like it. So hopefully in the future, I mean, right now it's key lime pie. I can't wait for you to try it, and hopefully in the future when we do have our brick and mortar, you know, we can expand that dessert menu too. So I'm excited about that.
You probably ordered a key lime pie from us, Kevin, but then we donated. So
I know. I've ordered more. I've ordered so much food from you guys that I've never seen.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Hey, we appreciate you.
Obviously, take care of you when we actually see you.
No, I love
again.
You guys. Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't expect anything out of it. It's like my brother and sister. Hoping like it's how many key lime pies are you making now? It looks like a lot, right?
It just depends. Mm-hmm. Every week, it just fluctuates. Like this past week, I did about 30. This next coming week, it's about double. Yeah. So it just depends on...
It was funny because last week, like middle of the week or three quarters into the week of orders, we had like 9 key lime pies sold. And she was like, oh, man.
That's no fun.
And then by like Sunday when we were going to cut it off, I checked and we were like, oh, it's 30 pies. And she's like, okay, that's pretty good. Let's leave it there. So this week, 3 days in, she was already at like 50 pies, something like that. So it was just like, oh, wow, okay, let's not take too many more, because then it just gets overwhelming because we're limited on kitchen prep time. You know, it gets really hard when you're backed into someone coming in to prep right after you. So we have to also keep those things in mind. Otherwise, we'd let it keep going.
Can you set your system so that it has a maximum number of something?
So there are some apps out there where you can be like, I only want to sell like this many pounds of brisket or this many whatever it is, like key lime pies. And it'll automatically say sold out, like the Square site does that.
Right. Yeah.
But then the pickup for that is like set, like, so you can do it 3 days out. So if they order Thursday for Sunday, it would work. But then if they order on Friday, it would say pickups on Monday. So the app we're using now allows us to set a specific day for pickup, but it doesn't allow us to set an inventory. So it's something that I have to track manually on the back end with a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I see. Now, is it cool? Is it cool to see the orders come in? Can you see that? Like, is that fun?
It is kind of cool, especially in the beginning. So we have, it's through Wix. And so we get like phone notifications, like whenever we get an order. So it's kind of cool. Like some days it'll be like kind of slow. And then other days, you know, the right post and like, we'll get like, you know, maybe 20, 25 orders in a half a day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, like, to see that.
It's actually probably good for the future for brick and mortar or for whatever else you do. It'll give you...
Yeah. With this whole pandemic, it's like, it's opened up our eyes to just the different ways we can deliver our food.
The possibility.
Versus just like first come, first serve, mm-hmm. and that's it. You know, even if when Smorgasburg opens back up, like, you know, we've already talked about like, well, what if we do like a curbside pickup the day before for some people, like a limited amount, because we're already making the food anyways, mm-hmm. and then still have enough for Smorgasburg, you know, just to, because not everyone wants to go to Smorgasburg. So
that's a good idea.
So just kind of different things like that. And then eventually, like, for brick and mortar too, like, we would always make sure that we have enough food for the brick and mortar or wherever we're at. But like, if we can make something work where it's like curbside pickup, you know, maybe it wouldn't be like, I want to order it for this weekend. You know, maybe it'd be like a window thing. Like, if you want it, you got to order it way in advance. So mm-hmm. that's kind of your wait period. Because we don't want to make it unfair to people who just want to come and wait in a line to get right. the food. So
yeah.
We'll figure it out. But at least we, with this, we kind of learned there are different ways to move your food.
And the fact that you guys could survive during this, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because there was a time where you guys were wondering, like, what's going
to
happen? Like,
no, I think, yeah, it was everybody. Scary. Yeah.
We were all, I mean, we had to literally change our business motto overnight, and none of us knew what to expect. Our whole goal from the beginning, even now, is just trying to just stay afloat and still just try to stay at least above water.
Yeah, that's the only unfortunate thing is before we were, like, working with the purpose to save towards, like, a brick and mortar, yeah. and right now it's like, you can't really plan for what next month or next week is going to bring. You just kind of have to keep moving with mm-hmm. it. And
always
if something happens, you got to adjust to it. So that's kind of our model right now. And so, like, that's why we're also changing our menu and offering different things, because, you know, like, there's different trends. Like, sometimes it'll be busy and then it'll level off and then it gets busy again. So it's like, it's very unexpected right now. You know, we're just trying to do the best that we can, just like a lot of other people out there.
A lot of social media marketing is what really helps, you know, just trying to stay really just active on it. Post every day, do stories, let people know, hey, we're still here. Mm-hmm. We're open. You guys need us barbecue, you know, please keep moves in mind. And, you know, just hustling with social media has really been.
It's always been important for us because that's how we started. It was like Instagram and, you know, DMs, and you can come to our backyard pop-up. So that's always been our course. So I think, like, transitioning to mainly marketing on social media wasn't that hard, but it just became that much more important because, you know, Smorgasburg wasn't there and it wasn't something that was reliable every weekend anymore. So being able to pivot the Instagram account to, like, heavily market it and post more just meant we just had to take more photos. So
and it seems like you're getting really good reaction to your posts.
Big time.
Yeah,
like a lot more than I've ever noticed, it seems.
So Michelle, she manages all of the social media, like 99% of it. If the post is kind of boring, it's probably because I did.
True.
But like if there's, she always tries to put a caption that engages the audience, mm-hmm. so we get comments in the comments field. But but we've just noticed in general, like, the views or like the clicks or the likes have mm-hmm. like doubled and tripled in some cases. Like, before we'd post a brisket shot and maybe get like 500 likes, and like right now they're getting like 1200, 1400 likes. So it's pretty crazy, and it's consistent. So
people might be on social media more too, maybe, I don't know.
We're on it more. We're just kind of home when we're not working, and, you know, like, your phone's in your hand all the time.
You're getting all these notifications. Yeah. Yep.
Do you guys have it on set so you get notification or bells and stuff? Do you know when people like things, or do you just look at it?
No, I think we turned it off a while ago because, after a while it just drains your battery when you're always looking at just Instagram. So
we have it on in case we get those DMs. We want to reply. Someone's reaching out to us privately. They have a question.
Yeah, I think it's set so that you don't see the likes, but you see the comment. Like, if someone DMs you or sends you a message, that pops up in our phone, so we can get to that quick. Yeah.
When do you usually go on sale? Are you going to do every week now, or is it every other week still?
Well, that's what we're still trying to figure out. We really would love to do it every week, but like we mentioned, with having our two kids home and not having a lot of
there's no school, there's so it's hard
to have the sitters. Support with sitters and dropping them off, and is it safe, you know, all that stuff.
My grandma's I think she's 78, so, you know, she's higher risk, and so just taking her kids there, we always have to think twice about that. Or even if her mom comes in and watches them, she's in her, you know, mid to late 50s, so
that's why we're doing them every other week too. It's like, okay, we're coming into the kitchen, we know we're going to be with other people, other vendors, get our sale, let's take a couple of days, because you just never know, how do we feel? You know, it's a shared kitchen. Are we okay? Are we feeling okay? Do we need to go get a test? And then we kind of like, I guess we kind of like judge it based on that. Okay, we'll do it again.
And just keep going.
And
yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been fortunate. No one at our kitchen has tested positive.
Yeah, thank God, yeah.
And thank God. I mean, for the most part, everyone at our kitchen, you know, there's a few younger people, but everyone seems pretty responsible with it.
Pretty respectful.
Even outside, like, they're wearing gloves, or they, at minimum, always have their masks on. So we follow the rules, they follow the rules. I mean, we can never control what people are doing outside of the kitchen, but, you know, just judging the people in the kitchen, we kind of feel like they're probably pretty responsible outside of it.
Everyone respects each other's space.
Yeah, and I think everyone knows, like, if they get sick, like, this is what they do, then they can't do it anymore, and that just makes it tougher on them. So I think we all try to do our part.
Yeah, and Michelle and I, you and I have texted a lot about the situation and how important it is to be extremely careful, and you're way up there. You're up there in the belief to be ultra careful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So have people wanted to get Moose, is it usually open up on Monday, or do you have a specific day you open up the sales?
So we'll close it typically on Sunday night, like at midnight. We'll let it run through the whole weekend.
Okay.
And then since we're trying to do it every weekend or every other three times a week, so when we're going to do the back-to-back, the next one would open up on Monday, and then that would go for about a week till Sunday, and then they would pick up their orders the following weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then... So, like, we're going to do one this weekend, but the following weekend we're going to be off. So we're letting this current one roll a couple extra days just because, you know, we can fit the food in there and, you know, not have to worry about resetting again. We'll have a couple days to rest.
So. And I've used the site multiple times. It's really easy to set it up, and you can set up a pickup time. And then what happens when I noticed that you posted instructions on how they pick food up. What's the instruction?
Yeah, so when people order, we'll send an email out midweek or towards the end of the week, letting people know, you know, the pickup instruction. So it's pretty much you order your food, we'll send an email. The email just says to come at your selected pickup time, which is anywhere between 11 and 2. And we just ask that everyone stay in their car, pop their trunk, or roll their back window down. We have our food runners go out. They confirm your order. They drop the food in the car. And we just ask that everyone wear a mask. So our team is wearing a mask when they go out. And at minimum, we hope that the people receiving the food wear their mask too. Unless they have their windows up and they just pop the trunk, then, you know, that's probably safer than the mask. But
it's completely contactless. It's really the safest way to offer
it. Yeah, everything is electronic payment. You know, we don't exchange any cash at all. So yeah, it's as safe as it's going to be. Right now. And the plus side is people don't have to wait in our lines at Smorgasburg. You know, like, we would try to move it as quickly as possible, you know, but still, like, you might be waiting 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And with us doing curbside, people can pick their time. And you still might wait 15 minutes. You know, we start at 11, and typically people want to come right at 11 or, like, that final hour between 1 and 2. So we're busy there, and then noon will kind of drop off a little bit. But, like, 11 comes, and our goal is to always try to have the food prepped for them, like, 20 minutes before they come, or at least be on that, you know, like, that mindset, so that when they text us, we either just finished prepping it, or it's been prepped for, like, 5 minutes or so, and our runner grabs the bags, and they run them outside, and, you know, people get their food hot.
The people text when they're actually there? Is that something?
That was the other thing. So they'll just, when they pull up, they'll shoot up a text. We have a business phone number. And everybody that works with us has their device set up, and they all get the message. So we'll all be on the same page, like, this person just got here. And then we'll mark it off on our list, and they'll run it out. And, you know, most of the time we get it right out, but sometimes we ask for, like, 15 minutes.
No, I was wondering if it's cool to see, like, a line of cars. Like, that must be interesting.
I was just going to say that. So there's still a line. It's just a line of cars now.
They're parked, and they have air conditioning.
That's for our runners, because they're literally sometimes, like, running down the block to deliver one, and then, you know, the next order is on the opposite side, so he has to run the other direction. It's a good workout.
The guy who's running is only, like, 23 or 24, so he's young. He can handle it.
It's our newest member. I don't know if you've met him yet. His name's Frank.
Oh, no.
I'll introduce you to him next time. Yeah,
he really nice I think guy. He started Smorgasburg with us, and he only maybe did 2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you might not have met him. He did, like, right towards the end, and then he transitioned he's been with us since January, but he wasn't doing Smorgasburg in the beginning.
Okay.
He was mainly doing Smorg if like Adam or Danny couldn't make it. And so that's why you haven't met him, but you'll meet him eventually.
Oh, well, that's it. And that's also too, like you said, the air conditioning, it gets, this is a hot time of year for Smorgasburg. So it's nice for.
Oh yeah.
And we all really appreciate the kitchen right now because it's air conditioned and, you know,
there's good ventilation.
There's nice ventilation. It's all brand new. The kitchen's only like 2 years old, built from the ground up pretty much. So yeah, it's nice to be doing everything inside, you know, with the ovens and the stoves to keep everything warm. There's some pluses to it, but, you know, obviously we wish things were normal and back at Smorgasburg.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, we'll get there.
Have you heard that Smorgasburg is opening in New York, I think?
Yeah, they are. We got an email about it. So what's different about New York is they had multiple locations where they could do Smorgasburg, and some of those locations, I believe, were like indoor, too.
Okay.
Indoor. And they weren't really operating as anything else during the week. So they're able to do Smorgasburg and have those vendors vend multiple times a week, whereas where we're at in downtown, it's a produce market during the week. So to do Smorgasburg just on the Sunday, it's kind of hard to get vendors to commit to that and then having people come in. They want to do it, but, you know, the health department also is not going to allow that liability to just happen with the cases spiking.
Yeah, so. And there's an insurance that has involved and things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, that land is, it's not city-owned. It's probably a private.
I would think so, yeah.
They're not going to want that liability on their hands, so.
Can you run down the menu really quick of, like, what basically you'll always have on the menu?
So, proteins, brisket, spare ribs. We'll always have a sausage, one of our sausages on rotation, whether it be the pork verde sausage or birria sausage or a classic jalapeno cheddar, pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
On rotation, sometimes we'll have beef ribs.
Yeah, people have been asking for the beef ribs, but with the shortage, the pricing went so high.
We'll always see brisket loaded beans, mac and cheese, coleslaw, and then we'll throw in a side, something maybe like a special of the week. On rotation, just to kind of keep things fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will always be key lime pie.
I was going to say, hopefully there's always key lime pie. Because after, I'll tell her the order, right? She's like, how many pies do I have? And I was like, 26. And she's like, really? And I was like, okay, well, really there's 25, but I want one.
He always adds an extra one.
Always add one or two.
Why did you choose that? Is it because it's so refreshing and wonderful, but what made you? What was the inspiration?
Well, I love key lime pie. Two, I think it's kind of nice to have something refreshing, you know, that's dessert, that's sweet, that's tart, after you just had such a rich, hearty, you know what I mean? So I just thought it would be a really nice first dessert to include in our menu. And so far it's a hit, so.
And it looks beautiful, too. It's such a cute little
princess. Thank you.
It looks like something.
That's because I'm on her all the time to keep them consistent and make them look nice.
And I look forward to it. Like, I've been practicing a lot with making more pies, pie crust, and trying to get the perfect ratio and consistency that I'm happy with. So I can cobblers and crisps and so many other things that I want to add to the menu eventually. But right now, you know, key lime pie is.
Cornbread. She wants to do cornbread.
There's so many things I want to do, but you know, when you're working out of a commissary kitchen,
it's hard to test all that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on the clock, essentially.
It's probably smart for you guys right now because you guys would test so many different things. It would be crazy.
Well, that's why we just got this little pit behind us.
Yeah, I want to talk about that Harper pit.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so we just got this.
That's so rad.
There it is.
We just got this because, you know, our doubles are in storage and we only pull them out when we need them. And then the 500, the original, is at the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, Smokey.
This is Smokey.
Ah, Smokey's so cute.
In case you were wondering why Michelle was breathing heavy, it was the dog. So it was just like we needed something at the house to, like test cook, too. Like, we're off. We have more time. So it's like, this kind of sounds like a good idea. Well, let's test cook it. And it was like a pain to go to the kitchen and spend 6 hours there when I could just easily have something in my backyard and, you know, do it at a much more chill rate. So.
Is it a 125 or what is it?
It was a 250 and then they just cut it down. It's not quite 200. They cut it to like 48 inches
mm-hmm.
From cap to cap. So the grate is 40 inches by 30 deep. So or 29 deep. So it has the feel of a big pit, but in a more compact size. You know, you can fit like maybe three briskets in the back, a couple racks of ribs, and then it has a top shelf if you want to do something like chicken on top. But it's nothing crazy. You can't really do a pop up with it or anything.
Bet he got some orders because when he posted about it, people were saying like, how much? He's like, I DM'd you. I saw it constantly. So at least I'm sure they got a lot of interest.
He messaged us and he was like, man, you guys have a pretty strong reach. We're like, why? What do you mean? He's like, I put my phone down and I come back, and every single time I come back, I have like 10 new messages asking about that pit. So yeah, it's kind of cool to hear. Like, hopefully we see more of them, and hopefully he draws a lot of business from it too.
For sure.
And then so now for the controversial question, you've had a fat stack, an El Cucaracha, and a Harper. No, I'm not going to ask that question, but it is kind of nice that you've had different pits from different people.
I'm going to answer you. It's like barbecue. You can go to a bunch of different places and they all do it well, but they all do it differently. It's the same thing with the pits. They, at this point, all three of them have built so many that they all do it well. And each product is different, but they're all like built with quality in mind. So.
And you got them like all in different like early stages. Like Fat Stack was an early days of Fat Stack, early days of El Cucaracha. And this is like Harper's been kind of rolling for a while now. Their pits are everywhere.
They are now, yeah. That's kind of how it was. Like Fat Stack was early on, and we did their first pit. And then Dennis had done a couple of them. Like, he did one for himself. And when I was building my first little 250, I had asked him a bunch of questions, and then when he rolled it into an actual business, I was like, well, I have to kind of get a pit from him, you know, and they were just really nice, so I wanted one. And so I ordered one, and we made it work, and, you know, that's our workhorse for now. And then this one's cool for the backyard, but for the bigger ones, whenever we open up a restaurant, you know, like, we'll work with everybody just to see what kind of deal we can get from any, you know,
yeah.
What makes sense for us. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll probably have 5 1,000-gallon. On pits, like
at least, you know, that'll just be for the smorgasbord, and then we'll have 5 more for you know, the South County location.
It's just a weird time.
It's such a hard time.
Yeah, I lose like all the weight I gained during the week when I cooked on the weekend.
Oh, that's true, huh?
And then I gain it back on Monday.
That's all it takes is one day.
Yeah, it does.
Are you thinking about a brick and mortar? Like, I know we talk about it a little bit, but that won't, you know, until COVID's done, you're not going to really think much about that, right?
We're still looking. We've seen a few spots, but it's just really hard right now to...
It's hard to pull that trigger on something and do that right. In who knows, this might still just be the beginning of COVID. Who knows how long it's going to go for? But even just in this environment, like, if we were already committed and had a spot, and, you know, we'd work to get it done. But right now, we've kind of like are a lot more cautious. You know, we're still looking. You know, we have an agent that's still showing us places or are still sending us emails. And if it looks interesting, you know, we've gone to see them. But it's still like, is it really worth it to do it right now? Especially, you know, because a lot of them do need a lot of work. And you know, you have to manage your business that's bringing you in your income.
At the
same time, you also have to split yourself to be there to make sure that the project's being done correctly. And with our limited resources, with babysitters and whatnot, like,
and our kids not in school and they're not going back
very,
to school.
Yeah, it's very difficult to figure out how we would manage that. So
how to juggle it now really is just, it's mind-boggling.
Would you want to do something close to your house?
We want to do something where it makes... It doesn't matter anywhere in Los Angeles. It doesn't have to be here in East LA. It doesn't have to be anywhere near where we live, but we just want it somewhere in Los Angeles. Could be the Gabriel Valley, could be, you know, the San Fernando Valley, Central LA. It just, I kind of look at it the way I tell Andrew, it's like that dress, like the wedding dress, you know, like when you see it, you'll just know this is it. Maybe he doesn't feel that way, but that's how I feel. Every time I walk in and our agent shows us the place, you know, it's like that vibe that you get. It's either it feels right or it doesn't feel right. It either makes sense or it doesn't make sense. You know, just, what do you think, Andrew?
Yeah. I don't know about the wedding dress situation, but, you know, I guess it's more like when you find that perfect mask right now.
But Andrew, we're really been open to being shown anything anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially we were kind of like, oh, it has to be on the east side, but as long as, for us, our goal is to try to do it in Los Angeles County and do it with our smokers. I think that would be big for the city of Los Angeles, or the county of Los Angeles in general.
It's important.
And You know, it gives us a lot of hope seeing our friends, Heritage, Danny and Brenda, do it in South Orange it's County.
Amazing.
And do it the way they wanted to do it. So it's like, well, it did happen in Southern California, right. And they did it in the area that where they're from. So hopefully we can do that same model or something similar in our
fingers
county.
Crossed.
Our,
yeah.
Fingers mm-hmm. crossed. That's our goal.
Yeah, you want to use an offset. You want to do it the way that you've been cooking because that's the way you're comfortable cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We want to still be able to provide that experience. We're looking for a standalone brick and mortar. Doesn't matter where, you know, just as long as it has the right space, good parking, somewhere where we can park our smokers, somewhere where now with COVID, somewhere where there's some outdoor seating.
For sure.
Some indoor seating and just something that, you know, is... It's
even
cozy
if it has
and welcoming, and we could just get to see our customers and serve them food and just, you know, just have that fun experience that we used to have, like welcoming them into our new home.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning, it was literally welcoming them into our backyard, into our home. And I can't wait till the day comes where we have our new home where we can just open the doors and let people come in whenever. So
it'll happen. It's just
hoping for a better time.
And possibly someone watching this or listening to this might have a spot. You never know. It could be
Yeah. I mean, we haven't done that yet where we've reached out on Instagram. We've talked about it, like, you know, because we have a pretty good following and
right.
It's just like the more you reach out and let people know, then you're going to get people responding back with maybe a possible opportunities.
We've been pretty conservative with that.
Yeah, we might do that eventually, but right now we're not, you know, because we're not in the biggest rush right now because of the current circumstances, you know, we've held back on that. But I think if things start to get better and they're, you know, we might do that just to get a little bit more feedback from people and, you know, possible opportunity. Yeah. There might be someone out there who would like have that passion and want to help us bring Moose to brick and mortar location too. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. We won't know until it happens.
All this stuff was happening, you know, for a reason, I guess, or it's for some reason. So this is, I'm just happy to catch up with you guys again. I'm happy that you guys are able to pivot and figure out a business model that works. That's important.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We're happy that we're still figuring it out, to be honest, Kevin.
Yeah.
And we're just going with the flow, doing our very best, like I said, to stay afloat and to keep Moose Craft Barbecue going. That's really right now our main focus is just to keep it going.
Thank you for keeping your series going, because now that we're home, we have a lot more time to actually sit down and watch them and listen to everything, you know, because I put it on sometimes when I'm cooking just to kind of hear what everyone's doing across, you know, Texas or wherever. You interview everybody across the country. So it's kind of cool to hear like what people are doing
in
this time too, mm-hmm. and see how it's similar to maybe mm-hmm. what we're doing or not. But, you know, it's kind of cool just to hear everybody's different perspective on COVID and how they've pivoted to the time.
Thank
so,
you. Yeah, no, I've been trying that. To, like, I have a couple people this week that are across the United States, and just because I want to see how it's working all across the United States, because Texas,
right.
we know Texas is pretty savvy about it, and they've, you know, they have a built-in clientele. Like, these people will wait hours and hours, whereas somewhere in Virginia, maybe, it's just not the mindset, so I'm trying to keep busy.
And I think in Texas, too, it's like, even... They have to even be more on it because there's so many of them.
True, true,
you know?
True.
Like,
yeah.
So they're always having to, for us, like, I guess we're a little fortunate in that what we provide is something that you really can't get everywhere mm-hmm. here. You know, there's only a handful of us right now anyways. I'm sure hopefully it will grow and, you know, maybe we'll have
it's
our
growing.
Own thing. So it is growing.
It's
so.
Growing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. It's a slow process, but it's, if done right, I think it's going to be, we'll have a great scene, and it's a much better scene than the early days when I first visited you in your backyard. Things have changed so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was watching I was watching an old video of me, like when I came and visited you and we first chatted.
I watched the walkthrough video that you did way back in the day when I had the little pop-up tent here uh-huh. and you had that little, like that
little
GoPro,
that little jingle in the background. And you had you had it like a little, your selfie stick.
Uh-huh. It was a GoPro. That was funny. I don't even think I met you.
And then I see my brisket. I'm like, oh, look at that bad brisket. I'm like, I'm glad Kevin came back.
It was because of our conversation. And you were also building a pit. It was interesting. I was like, what is this guy doing?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. the 250.
So yeah, that 250 I was building, I was talking to Dennis quite a bit too. Like, how do you know how to do this? Or what do you, you know, I had no idea that he was a welder by trade. You know, I just thought he picked it up and decided to build himself a pit.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's crazy too, like all these different people that I've been talking to that are welders and building pits, like that whole world has changed too. It's a wild world we live in. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's cool.
I like those chud pits right now, those chud boxes.
Yeah. Well, I'm posting a chud interview next week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, I really like what those guys are doing with like their
Yeah, he's on YouTube. Hey. Say hi, Kevin.
Are you on YouTube?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
He said he saw you on YouTube.
Yeah, thank you.
He wants a beanie now because he saw your previous video.
Yeah. I should make Kevin's barbecue joints beanie.
Do you have a Kevin barbecue joints beanie?
You guys could sell them on your site and I could... Like 50% of the proceeds go to something. Like we could figure out like to animals or something. That's funny. It is funny. Yeah. Like someone said that. Oh, that guy Ryan Cooper, who's in Nebraska. He said his kid thinks he's famous because I interviewed him on YouTube and they played it on the TV. So he's like, I want to be famous like my dad.
Oh, that's so cool. I love it.
But he wants to have a drone shot. He said famous people have drones, and I'm like, oh god.
Oh.
That's funny.
I don't have a drone. It
has to be for professional video. Someone came and did a drone video for us, and some of it was here in our backyard, and then we took it to like the kitchen, but it never made the final cut. Yeah.
Well, also too, like a lot of people get excited about doing stuff, and then they realize they have to edit it, and it's a lot of work at the end.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Enjoy your evening. Thank you guys for sitting down, and hopefully I'll get to actually see you guys pretty soon, but. Right now,
yeah.
I'm being careful.
It's so nice to see your face and talk to you, you know? Like, we're always texting, and it's so nice. That's been the hardest part, I think, of all of this, is really just missing that connection, that physical connection with your loved ones, your family, your friends. I can't wait to host a barbecue back here.
Somewhere,
anywhere, you know, but just to be able to hang out safely and shake hands. Like today we met with some people and it felt awkward doing business and not being able to like, hi, nice to meet you. You know,
Michelle, we shook hands from like 6 feet apart. We're just like, hey.
It's weird. It's so weird. Giving hugs. Oh, you know, just.
I'm not a big hugger, so that doesn't matter.
He isn't a big
much,
hugger, but I am. I'm a big hugger. I love. Who's like, a big hugger?
For my birthday, I turned 40 this year, and, you know, people just drove by, and within an hour and a half, I was completely shit-faced, and I didn't have to touch anybody, so it was nice, and the party was over.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a nice thing. Like, yeah, like, just get it over with quick, and then just move on. That's so nice. Enjoy your evening, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, good talking to you. Miss you guys.
Well.
Stay safe. Bye.